My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you have joined us today. Caleb, what do we have coming up?
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Baptism is one of the ways that we participate in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's through baptism that we know that our old life is gone and we are living new in Christ. So if you haven't been baptized and you would like to, scan the QR code on the screen to sign up. And if you have any questions, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
Hey church, I'm coming to you today with a good news spotlight. We had a praise card come in and it said this: I filled out a prayer request 4 to 6 months ago about my husband having the desire to seek God, and he started reading the Bible every night. He also decided to stop using nicotine and has been free from that addiction for several weeks. I didn't even mention that, but the word brought change. It's only God. Church, when we pray first, it's so awesome to see what God will do in our lives.
Fall small group signups are now open. Small groups are one of the best ways to find freedom through meaningful relationships and spiritual growth. These groups meet on Wednesday nights during service and serve as an easy way to get connected and to grow alongside others. To see all of the available groups, you can scan the QR code on the screen, head to the Church Center app, or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We're so excited for what God has in store for this next semester of fall small groups.
Hey guys, I wanted to let you know about our next Brotherhood Breakfast, August the 15th, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. And hey, good news, we're in the new Fellowship Hall that's located in our first building. We'll make sure that there's plenty of signage so you know where to go. Make sure that you register for this event. We want to make sure that we have enough food for everybody. And of course, it's going to be a great hot meal. Bring a friend, bring a buddy, bring somebody from work. It's a great event to bring somebody that maybe doesn't normally go to church, but they would come to a breakfast. It's free. You can't beat free. So register for the event. Come on out. We're going to have a great time.
You're invited to our annual ice cream social on Wednesday, August 12th. After our 7 p.m. service, head outside right behind the church building and enjoy a sweet treat and even sweeter fellowship. We will have free ice cream and a variety of toppings for you to make your dream sundae. So invite some family, bring a guest, and we cannot wait to spend this evening with you.
Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and out in the lobby, and they serve as a really easy way to invite someone who you may or may not know to our next service. So be praying about who God would lead you to invite to our next service.
And if you have questions about groups, events, or ways to get connected here at Only Believe, you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all of your questions answered. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Amen. As we dive into God's Word, let's just pray this morning. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. Thank you for the Word that it goes forth today, God, that it's not me that talks, but you speak through me. I thank you, Father, that it will pierce the hearts, Father, of everyone in this place today. Lord God, that it will be good seed and good ground, that it will not be turned void and go in one ear and out the other, but God, it will be planted into their hearts, Lord God, and that they will know who they are in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Good morning. Pastor Randy here, senior pastor, along with my wife. If you're new, thank you for being here today. We have a good word today. We're starting another new series called Identity. Identity. Okay. All right. Some of you are happy. It's great. Hey, listen, it's important. Our identity is very important. And tonight, we're going to do like 4 weeks. Today's the first week. And so I've entitled mine, The Search for Identity. So The Search for Identity. And right off the bat, when I think of our identity, I think of our salvation as well. I think our identity and our salvation kind of go hand in hand, and I say it like this: our salvation is received, it's not achieved. All right? It's received, it's not earned, it's not worked for, you can't buy it. We, by faith, ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and then we received the salvation when we ask for forgiveness. It's that simple, it's done. There's no begging, there's no paying, there's no anything. We receive it, we don't achieve salvation. We were forgiven, and now a son or daughter of God. That's it. It's that simple. It's not hard. You don't have to be theologically advanced, homiletical, philosophical, hermeneutical, and homiletical. Nothing like that. It's simple. The gospel is simple. Our salvation can never be achieved as most other false religions say, right? I have to work for this and work for that. I've heard it my whole life, all these different false religions. I work to get to heaven, work to receive God's approval. Thank God we don't have to. We cannot be earned. And so when I think of our identity, I think of it as the same way as salvation. Listen, our identity is received and also not achieved. That makes sense? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Again, pretty simple language. It doesn't say, or Paul doesn't say, that we are becoming a new creation at salvation. Doesn't say it at all. It doesn't have anything to do with our effort. None at all. What effort could we even do on our own to become a joint heir with Jesus anyway? I mean, name something. You can't name anything. It's impossible. It's impossible. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship. His workmanship. We are not our own workmanship. Amen? Amen? All right, we don't have to strive to become a child of God. We don't have to work to be accepted by God. Becoming a part of God's kingdom is not like becoming a part of the mafia where you have to prove something to get in. Amen? He just laughed. Yeah, okay, Rick, you're laughing, so this is good. So let me do something. Let me see if I can do this. You know, to become a part of the family of God, you have to come to church 3 weeks in a row, Sundays and Wednesdays. You got me, man? You got to volunteer at least 40 hours a month to become a part of the family. You got to take the senior pastors out to dinner three times a week. Three times to become part of the family of God. Yeah. You better bring 10 people to church in 3 months to become a part of the family of God. You got that? Huh? Now, Joey, give him his sword and get out of here. You know, it's not what happens to become a part of God's kingdom. It's not how it flows. It's not how it works at all. Amen? Come on. You can't earn your way into God's family. No, amen. By grace through faith, we become a part of God's family. Amen. All right. Since it's Aqua Grande today, are you picking up? No. Are you mopping up what I'm pouring out today? Okay. All right. Wake up. Come on, wake up. I had my glass of water like I have every morning. Praise God. So in searching for our identity, we have to start from the beginning. We have to start from the beginning. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image. Right there's the Trinity. For those that don't believe, let us make man in our image according to our own likeness. Did you hear that? According to our own likeness. Let them then have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This scripture says that our identity begins with who? God. Our identity begins with God. That's powerful. We are made in his image. We look like God. You could actually say this, and it wouldn't be blasphemy. I look like God. And you wouldn't be lying. David, even you look like God. Amen. That's right. Brother Rick, you look like God. Isn't that amazing? He says, peace. That's right. You look like, now it would be bad if it said God looks like me. Ooh, no. We look like him. Have you ever thought of it like that? We look like him. That's powerful. Every time someone sees our granddaughter, they always say, oh, Pastor Randy, your granddaughter, she looks like her father. Well, I hope so. I hope so. She was made after their image. Mom and Dad's image. Lacey was made. So yeah, she better look like him or her. You get it? Yeah, it happens. Aren't you glad? And I say this kind of being funny, but not, because this, remember, this is how my brain works. Aren't you glad that God don't look like that? Aren't you glad that God didn't look like that? Or that God didn't look like that? See, we would look like that. We would talk like that. You know, I'm so thankful that God looks like we look like God. Yeah. I'm glad human was the way God looks. Aren't you? Yeah. I mean, that would be crazy looking at you and you looking like whatever, you know, just ridiculous. But God looks like we look like God. So God looks like this. Okay, all right, making sure you get it. I'm going the extra mile to let you know that we are made in his image and his likeness. He looks like this with a little less of this. Ben, that's for you. Okay? So right away we see that Adam's identity wasn't that he was a gardener or an animal namer or anything that he had to do in the Garden of Eden to keep it going and prepare things or like that. No, he was made in the image and likeness of God. That was his identity. And it's our identity. Amen? Yeah. Naming the things and dealing with all the other things on the earth was what he did. It wasn't who he was. Jim, I'm thinking of you. You're a farmer, yes? Okay, so you're a farmer. So it's maybe your career. It's maybe what you love to do. It might be your passion. It might make you money. Farming is fantastic. But let's say that tomorrow you couldn't farm another day in your life. You would still be the Jim that we all know. You would still be the most loving, passionate husband that your wife first met. Amen. Yeah? Yeah, you would still be all of that. Because farming is not who you are, it's what you do. Who you are is a man who is in Christ, made in the likeness of Christ. In Christ, that's who you are. Farming is just what you do. So if you lost it tomorrow, yeah, it might hurt a little bit, but it would not affect who you are. It wouldn't affect it at all. Am I making some clarity here? All right. So now that was Genesis 1. Now we go down into Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So he tempted Eve," but remember the Bible says that he was very cunning. "The devil never told Eve God never existed." No. He questioned what God had already said. Yeah. The devil said, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" That's what he asked him. That's what he asked her. And then the devil offered her something that they already had. In verse 5, it says, "For God knows the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be what? Like God." You will be like God. Wow. Huh, that's pretty interesting. Because see, they were already like God. They were already like God. Yeah, they were made in the image and likeness of God. But see, the devil, what he did was this. Satan convinced them that God's image wasn't enough, and that he basically told them that they didn't need to depend on God to define good and evil to them. Yeah, no, no, no. They can decide for themselves. And unfortunately, what Adam and Eve did thousands of years ago is what people are still doing today. Our culture constantly says, define yourself. Create yourself. Be whoever you want to be. It's my truth, so it doesn't matter what you think. That's the deception of the devil. But the gospel says, receive what God, or receive who God says you are in Christ. So the next scripture is our big scripture of the day. And so we're going to break it down. I love breaking scriptures down when we have time. And we're going to make time for this one today. Romans chapter 5, turn there, verse 12. And we're going to go all the way down through 14. This is the meat of the message this morning. It says, therefore, just as through one man, say one man, sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. There's a lot in those two verses. But even Paul, if you notice, takes us back to the beginning. He took us back to the beginning as well. Right back to Genesis, right back to Adam. Sin was not part of God's creation. Not even a little bit. When God said, was done creating the earth, he said it was good. What part of sin is good? So it wasn't part of creation. Not even a little bit. Then reading on, then Paul connects sin to death. Remember, he had already warned Adam that if he had ate of it, you shall surely die. Genesis 2:17. So immediately they died spiritually when they ate of that fruit. Eventually, they died physically. So if you're writing something down today, you got it, John? All right, he's there. Write this down, and if you're not, write this down. Physical death is the fruit of spiritual separation from God. Yeah. Physical death is the fruit of spiritual separation from God. Then the scripture says that death spread then to all men. All men. And if you love to read boring things, I don't, then you can go to Genesis chapter 5 and you can read the genealogy of Adam. And it goes on and on and on. Who begot who begot who begot who. But there's one thread in that chapter that all meets together. And it's death. It's death. They all died physically. Paul says everybody died because all sinned. All sinned. He's not talking about individual sin. You know, like Phyllis went out and stole a bracelet or something, you know. No, not that type of sin at all. Not talking about that. No. All of humanity then and now are connected to Adam. You understand that? We are all Adam's seed. And Adam's transgression brought condemnation and death to the entire human race. The entire human race. Yes, even Noah. Well, he wiped out most of everybody, but Noah was still around. Built an ark. Was Noah still part of Adam's lineage? Absolutely. Absolutely. So it brought death to the human race. And then if you go back to Romans 5:13, it says, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Paul says that the law didn't create sin and that the sin was here before the law. The law had nothing to do with sin. And if you broke the law, it didn't mean you sinned because sin was still here. It's what he was talking about there when he talks about imputed. And then verse 14 says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Again, that verse is saying people died before Moses, physically, spiritually, dead before Moses, before the law was given. We know that because we just read the genealogy there, chapter 5, if you wanted to, of Adam. They all died. Everybody dies. Spiritual death causes physical death. That's just what we wrote down. Are you with me so far? All right. People were dying not because they were breaking the law God gave to Moses. The problem was Adam. Adam. Not Adam Congdon. Sorry, not you, Adam. What a name. I love it. The first Adam. That's the problem. Adam sinned against a direct command from God. And humanity was living under the reign of death entirely because of Adam. But then Paul drops a bombshell at the end of that whole verse. And that verse says, Adam is a type of him who was to come. Woo! Now it's getting good, right? Who wants to talk about death all service? Talk about something good. So Paul spent verses 12 through 14 explaining Adam and was preparing us to understand the second Adam, who is Jesus. That's right. Amen. So Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, it says this, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Woo-hoo. The sad part there is, it didn't say all would be righteous. Through Adam's sin, all died. All will die. But even because the second Adam comes, it said some will receive life, not all will, because it has to deal with choice. We must realize that Paul isn't talking about two individuals, Adam and Jesus. He's not talking about that. He's talking about two different humanities that still live today. The Christians and the non-Christians. That's what he's talking about. Two different identities. Yes. Jesus didn't come to improve us or make us better. That's impossible. Somebody said once, well, you know, I wonder if somebody else, instead of Adam, you know, if what if Adam wouldn't have sinned, or what if somebody else would have, we all would have done what Adam did. If you have ever sinned once in your life, guess what? You would have done what Adam did. You'd have ate the fruit too. Sure, baby, give me that stuff. Woo! We'd have done it too. Most of us listen to our wives. We get it. It's okay. I love it. I love it. That's good stuff. No, I'm sorry. That wasn't in my notes either. I'm so sorry. So that must have been from the Lord. I remember. I praise. Hallelujah. Yes. All right. He came to bring us out of Adam and out of death. Amen. The second Adam, Jesus did. Praise God. Remember at the beginning of the message, I said your salvation and my salvation were received, not achieved. Well, we also didn't earn Adam's sinful state either. We didn't earn it. We were born into it. We were born into Adam's family. We didn't have a choice. Which reminds me, unfortunately, of a story when I was growing up. Living at home, I was 16 years old. I had just got a job at a paint store called Warehouse Paint Center years ago in Pickwell, Ohio. I was making, I see, they started me out at $3.50 an hour. That was minimum wage back then, all you teenagers, $3.50 an hour. I thought I was doing great, bringing in the big bucks. Yeah, they still had checks back then. And so I brought a check home. My mom and dad were there, and they wanted to have a meeting. Oh, man, I want to have a meeting. All right, what's this meeting about? Well, we had a meeting with Pastor Dosek, brother. And they make their daughter save half of her paycheck. She worked at a truck stop. And so we are going to demand that you also save half of your paycheck. Like, okay, I make $3.50 an hour. What do you want me to save, you know? And then they added something to it. And then we want 20% as well. 20%. And I got very angry. I'm sorry. And I'm being very honest. And I said, I didn't ask to be born into this family. So why should I give you any part of my hard-earned money? I said that. I did. It's not one of my best moments. But, of course, they tattled on me to Pastor Dosick. And I ended up having to give half of my money and save it and give them 20%. Now, what I didn't know and understand, even though I was very angry and mad, was that they actually took that 20% and they saved it for me. They could have started out with that. It would have been better. You know, we wouldn't have had this. I didn't ask to be born into this family stuff, you know, and then taking my keys away from my car because of that and having to walk to work on top of it all. My Lord, you know, it wasn't one of my best moments, but we weren't born into Adam's family either. It happened to us. We had to deal with it because of his sin. So we didn't choose to be born into Adam's family and his fallen identity, but you will die in Adam if you do not receive your new identity. Amen? Yes. Jesus gives us a redeemed identity we could never earn if we choose to be born into his family. We'll never die. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is what now? He is a new creation. Instantly, nothing earned. It's given to us. It's receiving that. So as we get ready, I guess, to close out today, I didn't know if I should talk about Paul and how he never used the word Christian in anything that he did. He wrote almost all the New Testament. He never used the word Christian ever. He always said, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. And I thought, you know what? I can explain all that. It would be good, be powerful. Or should I talk about the devil? Since I'm talking about the death a lot, might as well talk about the devil. And I really feel God wanted me, and I was preparing this, to talk to you about the devil and be careful and warn you about him and his tactics. I really believe the Holy Spirit told me to do that. So when talking about the devil and our identity today, the devil's strategy hasn't changed. Hasn't changed at all. Instead of him, though, saying, did God really say not eat all of the tree? He is saying, did God really say who you are? Did he really say that? Are you really saved? Are you really born again? Are you really in Christ? Have you looked in the mirror lately? Have you looked what you've done? That's what he's saying today. Yeah, different words, same tactic. Remember, he can't create anything. He just copies everything. Amen. So, he's telling this generation that they can define themselves. Define themselves. Yeah. Your desires determine who you are. Your feelings determine who you are. And are you ready? Here's a big one. Hold on. Your sexuality determines who you are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So write this down as well. Whenever anything other than God gets to define who I am, I have accepted an identity that God did not give me. Did not give me. Now, I mean, that doesn't just apply to sexual identity, though. But what about political identity? Ain't that a drain? You know? What about racial identity? Me and Pastor Rick talked about that yesterday in the car for about 35, 45 minutes. Our Dayton campus pastor. Wave, Dayton campus pastor. That's right there. Amen. We talked about that yesterday for a while. What about political identity? What about, there's so many identities that are not of God. And here's the deal. It can apply to success, failure, addiction, and yes, even ministry. So many do that. Here's the deal. The devil doesn't care which false identity that you choose. Remember what I said. False identity that you choose, as long as it keeps you from believing what God said about you. So he is a false identity creator, but he is also an identity thief. He steals identity as well. And that reminds me of years ago, I can't remember how many years ago it was, there was a commercial on TV. It was a LifeLock commercial. And it was about a CEO who publicly displayed his social security number everywhere, on buses and trains and airplanes and semis, claiming that his business was so sound and so, yeah, whatever, that nobody would ever be able to steal your identity if you use my product, LifeLock. And he was so sure of it, he put his social security, his personal social security, everywhere. Man, that was fantastic. But here's the result.
This CEO put his own social security number in a national commercial for his cybersecurity company. And as you may have guessed, it backfired big time. Todd Davis is the co-founder of LifeLock, an identity theft protection company. He wanted to prove that his service worked, so he risked it all by putting his real social security number in a commercial for everyone to see. After the commercial aired, he had his identity stolen 13 times. People took out multiple loans, opened phone lines, and ordered gift baskets all under his name. On top of that, his company was fined $12 million by the FTC for deceptive advertising. But surprisingly, LifeLock still has more than 4.5 million users.
Why? Why would you do that? Wow, now that was a bad identity protection program right there, right? Yeah, I see three people now getting on their phone, erasing something. What are you, you have LifeLock, really? No, that's horrible. It's horrible. The devil, he is a thief, just like those people. It's absolutely a key. When it comes to Satan, though, he's an after your social security number, folks. He could care less about your social security number. He don't care. He's after something way more valuable. Your identity in Christ. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. That's all he's after, is your identity. He can't change or undo what Jesus did for you and me, or what Jesus, or Jesus' strategy of any kind. So he'll try to get us to doubt what Jesus did, what he gave us. That's what he does. That's what he does. And I can't stand it when somebody says, I am just a sinner saved by grace. I can't. My spirit cringes, always is cringed when I hear that. Now, I'm not sure that they're just being humble, and it could be that they're trying to be humble, or they're just ignorant. I prefer the ignorant part, and it may be genuinely ignorant, and they just don't understand, though they definitely don't understand what God is and what he did for them and who he is. Because, listen, that directly contradicts what the New Testament says about our believer's identity. It directly contradicts it. We are not sinners saved by grace. You could say this. You could say, I was a sinner saved by grace, and I still need grace every day of my life. That would be a proper statement. That's absolutely true. You could say that. But Paul addresses those who are in Christ or Christians as saints as well. Okay, Pastor Rainey, now you're going too far. All right, yeah, okay, I was a sinner, now I'm in Christ. I'm getting that. I get it, man. I'm part of the second Adam. I receive what Jesus did. So, okay, I'm no longer a sinner, but to say that I'm a saint, you're going a little too far in your message. I'm staying in the Bible. I'm not going out of the Bible. And let me prove it to you. Paul, we all like Paul, okay? He addresses those who are in Christ as saints. He even called himself a disciple once too. Like, man, Paul, okay. But listen, in Romans 1:7, he says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. He's talking to the Christian. He's talking to you and me. Well, that's just one. No. He also says in 1 Corinthians 1:2, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be. Okay, most of you are getting it now. Let me go to another scripture. He says in Ephesus to the Ephesians, to the saints, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. He says that in Ephesians 1:1. Wow. Sinner describes who we were in Adam, but saint describes who we are in Christ. Woo! So everybody on three, say, I am a saint. One, two, three. I am a saint. Wow. Some of you still can't say it, but it's true. It's absolutely true. You're a saint. Remember that, honey, when you talk to me next time. Saint Randy, how are you? Saint honey, saint baby, you know, I'm a saint. That's what Jesus said. If you're in Christ, we're saints, not sinners. Hallelujah. Amen. Jim, you're a farmer, but it's not who you are. It's not who you are. Well, I know what some people are thinking. 1 John 1:8 says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I understand that. I get that. And yes, Jim, you might sin every now and then because you're still part of the human race, okay? But Jim, you are not a sinner who sins. You are a saint who sometimes might sin. See the difference? And that might take a few of you to get that, all right? That's exactly what we are. Satan wants to take something you did and turn it into something that you are. False identity. Don't believe it. It's not true. Not true. Okay, so you fail. The failure isn't my identity. You're still the righteous in Christ who needs to repent. Okay? Yes. Yes, our behavior can affect our relationship with God, but it doesn't get to redefine our sonship or daughtership with God. Christ doesn't change his mind. Amen. He doesn't do it. Romans 8:1, there is now what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, we are in Christ. That's our identity. Colossians 3:9-10 says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Praise God. We have put off the old man and put on the new man. All of us have. Hopefully all of us have in here. Don't allow the devil to make your behavior your identity. It's not true. Allow your identity in Christ to transform your behavior. That's what's supposed to happen. Well, when I get it right, I'm going to church. How many times have you heard that? You come to Jesus as you are. The Holy Spirit will continue to help you and guide you and transform your behavior. It doesn't go the other way around. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So as we close today, come on up here, team, prayer team, come on up. Again, I really felt where this was going today. Opening the altar, obviously, for prayer today. And because of some of the response that I'm getting out there, I think some of us need some when it comes to our identity. Sounds like the devil has really put a thing on some of us because of what we've done, because of our past. How can God save me? You don't know what I did. Jesus don't care about any of that. Doesn't care about any of it. He didn't care about Paul. He shined the brightest light anybody's ever seen, brighter than the sun, Paul said. Now, if you have killed many Christians that are sitting here today, I can see how you might say, me? Man, I slaughtered about 14 Christians here so far, you know, because I thought it was right. Jesus still said, Paul, why are you persecuting me, Saul? You need to be in Christ. He still had to make a choice. Saul still had to make a choice, even though he was blinded for those 3 days. He could have said no. He could have cursed God. He had to make the choice, but somewhere in that 3 days, he's like, oh my gosh, he got a revelation of the truth. And Saul became Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. So yes, even if you're here today and you've murdered many people, Jesus still loves you. And he wants you to be part of the family of God. He wants you to be in Christ as well. Amen? Yes. Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. The devil came and attacked that. And he's been stealing identities ever since the garden. But we thank God for the second Adam, Jesus. Because through Jesus, there is justification and reconciliation. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Everybody stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Colossians says, set our minds on things above. And today, if you're continually or constantly keep thinking like the old man, then the altar is open for you today. It's open for you today. Come down, get prayer. Let the Lord touch you and take that mess out of you. If you keep thinking like the old man, you're going to keep living like the old man. Remember what they say, what you think, you become. Let's start thinking like the new man. Come down and get prayer for that. You can't live in two worlds. You can't keep identifying as the old man when Paul says that the old man has been crucified. Crucified. You can't say I'm still the same person when God says if anyone's in Christ, he or she is a new person, a new creation. You can't say I will never change or I am just this way when God says that old things are passed away and all things have become new. Come on, stinking thinking. Get rid of it. Come up here, get lay hands on. Get rid of that thinking. The Holy Spirit is moving, and if you've been carrying an identity that God never gave you, it's your turn to come down. Lay it at the altar. Get prayer in Jesus' name. Maybe you've been allowing the enemy to keep reminding you of something Jesus already forgave. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ. Let it go. Give it to him. It's not yours. You are clean. You are in Christ. The new Adam took that away for you and me. Bring it to Jesus. You are not what your past says you are. You are not what your failure says you are. You are not what your feelings say you are. You are not what the enemy says you are. You're not what your parents might have said you were or are. You are who God says you are. And he says that you are in him. You are in him. So anybody else today that needs prayer, come down. And if you have never received Jesus as your personal Savior, remember you're still living under a cursed nation. You are still in the first Adam. You want to be part of the second Adam? You want to be a part of what Jesus has for you? Then raise your hand and we're going to pray for you as well. Again, this has to do with you and God only, not the people around you. This is serious business. This has to do with your eternity. Anybody in here say, Pastor Randy, man, I need Jesus. I've messed up. I want him today. If that's you, raise your hand so I can see you. Anybody at all, if you see a hand, say, here's a hand in the house. Okay. All right. Anybody else need prayer? Come down right now. I'm going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for today. I thank you for this message, Lord God, that it penetrates people's hearts and minds. God, I thank you, Father, for pride to turn into humility today. God, that they won't let pride stop them from receiving everything that you have for them today. Let them be humbled, Lord Jesus, and come down to say, I need help. You're here to help us. We're here. We're family. We're one big family. We all have problems. We all have needs. We're here to help each other, to pray for each other. Lay hands on the sick. Your mind might be sick. I thank you, God, they'll come down and get their hands. Hallelujah. Laid on their mind today. That it be renewed in Jesus' name. That they believe, God. Give them the revelation that they are a new creature, new creation. They're in the new Adam. That old things are passed away today. Father, I thank you, Father, for clean consciences today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray with me for a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for moving, God, in this house. Thank you for moving on people's lives today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's somebody here, God is convicting you. He's not told me who it is yet. I'm asking him in my mind, but he's not saying who. Give it up, let go, and come down. In Jesus' name. Tell me who it is, Lord. I'll call him out. Thank you, Father. Thank you. If it's you, come down. Let go and let him. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. People being changed today. Hallelujah. Lives being changed today. People being set free today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We receive the second Adam. We thank you that, God, we receive our identity, that it's in you, Lord Jesus, not in our past, not in what has happened to us, but in who you are, in your forgiveness, in your mercy, in your grace, in your reconciliation. Thank you for it, Father, today. Thank you for it today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, they're getting prayed for. Let's close out here tonight or today and head out for some free food and fellowship. Father, we thank you for this service. I thank you for your church, Lord Jesus. I thank you for their commitment, Lord God, to you. Commitment, Lord God. Husbands to their wives, Lord God, their commitments. Wives to their husbands, Lord God, commitments. God, I thank you, Father, that their homes are sanctified, purified. That, Lord God, they try to keep the devil out as much as possible in their homes, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you that you're with them in their homes, in their workplaces, and coming up at school and colleges. Lord God, you're here. You're with them. God, I thank you, Father, for great things to happen for them. I thank you for great favor in schools, great favor in workplaces, great favor in their jobs, Lord God, that as they work diligently unto you, not to them and their bosses, but to you, that God, I thank you, Father, that you honor them and boost them and give them raises, Lord God. Promote them, Lord Jesus. Not even in their own asking, Lord God. But it's what you do for those who do what you say. Blessings come. Thank you for blessing their homes, blessing their neighborhoods because they live in that neighborhood. Because we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, it flows from us. And people also get the goodness because of us. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, let them lay hands on the sick, Lord God, everywhere they go, for they will recover. We thank you for healings, Lord God, in this house. The manifestations of those that we have prayed for and laid hands on and thank God for. We thank you. Those things are done in Jesus' name. Thank you for that today. For your word does not return void in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we thank you for these things. We give you praise today. Amen and amen. All right, we love you guys. Have a great day today. Stick around, fellowship, eat some free hot dogs and hamburgers, and enjoy our Sunday. God bless you.